This is where smart business conversations meet real-world experience, where strategies are shared, lessons are learned, and ideas come to life. I'm Emily Galindo, and you're watching Biz Talk, your destination for real insight from the minds shaping tomorrow's business world. Only on Now Media Television.
Welcome to Biz Talk. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and on this show, we uncover strategies that help professionals and entrepreneurs navigate today's fast-changing business landscape. Today, I'm joined by Leslie Everett, an award-winning keynote speaker, executive branding coach, and author of three books. She has delivered presentations in 28 countries, worked with over 200 global leaders, and even made history as the first female recipient of the UK's Hall of Fame PSAE Award. Leslie has spent her career helping leaders discover and express their authentic brand voice. In a world where noise and competition are louder than ever, it's easy to feel invisible, even when you're doing great work. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
It's a great pleasure, Emily. Thank you for having me back.
You are the expert in this, and so we just can't get enough of trying to understand or at least learn a little bit more and try to make ourselves stand out. I think that, you know, everybody wants to stand out, especially if you're doing a good job and you want people to know about it. So why are so many leaders and professionals, why do we feel so invisible and what are we doing wrong?
Yeah, it's a very common theme that I find probably amongst every single one of my executive coaching clients. And, you know, busyness gets in the way and they get buried in this sort of corporate sameness of what's going on around them. So they're just getting on with the day job, they're like on a treadmill, they're firefighting a lot of the time. Delegation is one of the biggest skills that I find myself covering with my clients because they have so much on, they don't delegate effectively, which doesn't make them as effective as possible. And they just get buried in this same old, same old, same old. So what we get with that is very little time to actually allocate to how visible am I and what is my profile? What do people think about me when I'm not there? And how do they talk about me behind my back? But they typically don't get time to do it. They just, I think the biggest thing is time and getting caught up in this or buried in this corporate sameness and going along with it and not getting the chance to break out of it.
I wonder, you just said something that I had a bit of an internal reaction to. So I wonder if it's not just me. When you say what, which is actually interesting, it's going to be a question I'll be asking the members of my networking organization this week, but what people talk about, what people say about you behind your back. Is it possible that we just don't want to know? And so we don't want to stop and ask that question?
It's perfectly possible. Yeah. And I've had that a few times. And a lot of the time I'll build into my coaching programs discussions with other stakeholders around the coaching client to get some one-on-one voice-to-voice feedback. And even though they're happy to give me names to talk to get feedback, I know that this level of trepidation, oh God, what are they going to say? Because I know they're going to be honest. So I'm going to get the good with the bad. And what am I going to, do with that? But it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. If we're really serious about building profile, visibility, and reputation overall, we've got to know what people say truthfully. Because if we're being talked about behind our back in a way that's not congruent with how we want to be seen, who we are, what our brand is, what our messages are that we really want to get out into the world, then if we're not in alignment with that, then we're never going to get to where we want to be and reach the goals. So we've got to be brave. We've got to stand up to it. We've got to be ready to have that feedback. And of course, what I can do as a coach is deliver that feedback in a way that is positive and is grounded in let's make some progress and have a development plan. But you're quite right. Do I really want to know what people say about me behind my back? But it's fascinating. We're all fascinated by that as well.
It's also, I mean, like you said, the good with the bad. I think that we think of ourselves as good at some things, but if you ask for that third party feedback, the good is actually mind blowing. If you've had that experience to have people say those things, you're like, people see me that way. That's incredible. Like it can be a bit very uplifting as well. So
absolutely. It's always the case. Yeah,
absolutely. So is that what you would call your authentic brand? Is that your public image is also the same as who you are? Or how would you define authentic brand?
Yeah, it's a good place to start to discover our authentic brand, but I do think that we also need to do a lot of introspection on what it is that really truly motivates us and drives us, and what is our golden thread, you know, that gem that sits right in the center of who we are and what it is that we're great at and what we bring to the table and what our personality and characteristics are. It's really important that we look at that for ourselves as well. The external feedback can give us some pointers and can be hugely valuable in being able to say, oh gosh, I didn't realize that was valued as one of my traits or one of my areas of expertise. I didn't realize people saw that in me, and I can use that. So it does help to get that feedback, but we've got to look inside ourselves as well. And that's, of course, the tough bit. I often say that we can't see the label from inside the bottle. So it's very difficult to understand what our own marketing message is on the outside when we're stuck on the inside. That's where coaches like me can come in to help to extract that, identify it, and then articulate it. But the authenticity comes from a combination of that feedback from others, but really from how we see ourselves and our own backstory, our own DNA, the stories that we have about getting to where we are now.
Right. And that, I mean, it is definitely the trip I think a lot of us are on these days, especially if you want to grow in business or grow as a person. But I mean, if you really want, if you're stuck in business and need to go to the next level, this is a crucial part of the process. You can't go forward without having this conversation. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, 100%. And there are a lot of people who think it doesn't matter, but it absolutely does, because it's no good doing a great job if nobody knows who you are and what it is you're great at. We've got to treat our own careers like an entrepreneur more than ever before. Even if we're in the corporate world, we've got to think about our own reputation, our own visibility and profile, and not leave it to chance, because leaving it to chance is dangerous, and we could be missing out not just on job promotion opportunities, but exposure and visibility that's help going to help elevate us to where we want to be. Even the most introverted leader wants to be known for what it is they're good at. And without putting focus into this area, you're not going to get there easily. Everybody's too busy to delve into that themselves. So we've got to make it clear for other people and confusing to other people what it is we're great at, what we stand for, and who we are as an individual.
I want to highlight two key points. There is one being that this is not what you do, and who you help is not strictly for business owners and branding and getting more business coming into the business that I own. You just said that this is also you work with people who work in corporations and need potentially promotions or want to climb the corporate ladder or any of those types of things. That what you, the work that you do also applies to employees as well.
Yes, it does. And I think probably most of my work is spent in the corporate world. Sometimes with people in the corporate world that want to come out of the corporate world and start off on their own. So there's a dual piece there. But a lot of my clients are in senior roles and don't know how to be visible and don't know how to get their voice heard. And that's not just women. We could often think that it's women who say, well, I'm not heard, I'm not respected for my voice, or I don't have a voice at the table like others do. It's not, it's right across the board. It doesn't matter age group, gender. Doesn't matter. People all struggle with that to some degree. So in the corporate world, it's probably as important, if not even more important, because we spend a lot of our lives in the workplace. And if we're not feeling like we're respected for who we are because people don't really understand us and our brand, then that can be quite demoralizing and demotivating and can affect our whole lives. So yeah, the corporate world and this topic, I think it's becoming even more of high top priority than it ever has been. It's always been there as a priority for keynote speaking for me and coaching and training, but it's even more so now. It seems to be up there.
Thank you so much for that. I mean, I had never, I can see how both are important. And the other interesting point that you had said earlier that I wanted to touch on is that you said people are too busy to pay attention to some of these things if we're not being authentic and loud and branding and noise in this noisy world. I would like to possibly invite the word distracted. I don't know if people are actually busy, but we're very distracted. by all of the things that we've got going on. And we've got to be able to figure out a way, with your help, obviously, with us today, is to help figure us a way out. So one of those questions would be, before we go to commercial break, is what is one small action that we can take, whether you own a business or in that corporate world, that somebody can take to start aligning their voice with their values?
Yeah, the one small thing to do is to get feedback to start with. So ask people, what would be three words that you would use to describe me? Just three words. It gets them focused. It doesn't allow them to give lots of detailed information. Just three words. That helps you to just really center on what it is people see, what they value. And you can then see if that's way out of alignment with how you want to be seen and what's accurate, or is it even true, or is it very accurate to what you, how you want to be seen? So that would be the very first step. Just get some feedback, three words from people. How do you see me? How would you talk about me behind my back? What are those three gems you would use to describe me to somebody else? That would be the first step. And then secondly, it's just setting aside time in your busy calendar to say, I'm going to look at how I build my brand and my profile. I need to set aside time this week or every Monday at 8 a.m. I'm going to spend an hour on this, whatever works for you. It's making the time, putting it in the calendar, color-coded, ideally.
Ideally color-coded. All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll be right back with more from Biz Talk. Up next, we'll dive into how to create a brand that lasts long after you leave the room. We'll be right back with Leslie right after this.
We are just getting started. Stick around, and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. If you're loving what you're watching, don't miss a moment of Biz Talk or any of our favorite shows on Now Media TV, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and in Spanish. If you prefer to listen on the go, catch the podcast version of the show right on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Biz Talk. We are here with Leslie Everett, a global leader in executive coaching, and she is here to help us talk about our authentic brand and standing out in a noisy world. So we are going to shift our focus onto something every leader needs to consider. What impression do you leave behind when you walk out of a room? So making a good impression in the moment is one thing, but the mark that lingers on can define your reputation. So Leslie, help us navigate how to leave the room. Why is it important
Great
to think about,
question.
why is it important to think, we spend a lot of time focused on first impressions, the first 6 seconds you talk to somebody. What do you think is the most important part that we need to consider in the impression that we leave behind when once we walk out of the room?
Well, of course, the first and last impressions, whether it's a meeting or a presentation, whatever it is, are the most important. So the last thing you say and the last thing you do is the thing that's going to be freshest in their mind. So if it is a presentation, it's reiterating what the key message is of that presentation, or reiterating what the key message is you want to leave behind about yourself in the room. It's following up often when you've left the room as well. It's that thing that you do immediately after a meeting to follow up, or at the end of a meeting before you leave the room, is saying, okay, just to make sure that we have everything here, I just want to take a moment to summarize the actions that I have, or the actions that my team have, or let's all be clear about what we're doing from this point on. Often something like that is missed at the end of a meeting, and people, I hear it all the time, people go out of the room and they're thinking, well, what next? Or that was a waste of time. That was just another meeting or another hour of my time I won't get back. That was pointless. And often things don't happen. So you can make a real impact by just making sure that at the end of a meeting, before you walk out of the room, that everybody's clear about what the next steps are. That's one thing that we can definitely do.
Okay. What about, how do you coach your leaders to build the brand? I mean, is there a follow-up strategy or something to make you really stand out? So I would think that summarizing the meeting in our action steps, I would hope that everybody is doing. What is the something that you can do to really take that up a notch or really stand out before you leave so that they're talking about you in a positive way after your leave?
It's almost like it's the feeling that you leave people with that's the most important, the confidence in you to actually go ahead and do what you say you're going to do. So if we're thinking about immediately after a meeting, it's you can follow up with that email to just reiterate what's been said and actually be surprised at how many people don't summarize a meeting or don't agree what's going to happen next in clear terms. But it's how you make people feel. So do they feel, yeah, okay, Emily's gone out the room. She's absolutely going to take that on board. I know I'm going to have that done by Tuesday morning. She's left the room and she really listened to what everybody said in this room. Everybody felt included. You know, as a leader, I'm often coaching people on listening, really listening. They think they listen a lot of the time, but sometimes they're not. Being a leader is being often the last one to speak in the room, letting everybody have their say and discuss, and then coming in at the end. So that gives people the feeling that you respect them, that you understand them, that you're listening, and you're giving them the time to air their views. So often it's about how we're making people feel in the room that when we leave, that everybody is respected for their time and their value that they bring. I often talk about this thing that your reputation is really about how you make people feel. And that's no more important than coming out of a room and finishing a meeting and people feeling like that was worth the time, that was worth my time. Somebody listened, somebody's got my ideas, my idea was respected, whether it goes forward or not. And then the days that follow that is thanking people, reiterating what's done, following on a thread. What happens in the corporate world today, I find, is that there's so much going on and this busyness that people talk about. And you mentioned earlier about distractions, which means that following a meeting, often things don't get done. So anything you can do that makes you stand out in terms of getting things done, follow through, ownership, responsibility, accountability is going to be a step ahead of most.
What would you say is the simplest thing that viewers can do? I mean, I think that you just kind of did, but I'd like you to reiterate it because it sounds like in my world, and it sounds like in your world, even in the corporate world, that just doing what you say you're going to do is the thing that makes people stand out, or at least is a simple thing that you can do to make yourself stand out. Am I hearing you correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it sounds crazy
It
because
sounds
to
crazy when
like,
I say it. Yes.
I know, but it's missing a lot. And this is one of the key themes when I'm coaching leaders that comes across about with their teams. I need them to be more accountable. I need them to take responsibility and ownership. I need them to say, I've got this and then follow it through. Most people don't do what they say they're going to do. It's an incredible thing, and it is the culture that we've built in this world, I feel right now. So it's more and more important for any leader as they build their team to, as I often talk to them about building their own rules of engagement within the team, their own team brand. We work on that. How are we going to operate as a team? And one of the things could be when we say we're going to do something, we do it. Unless there's a good reason not to, and then we communicate that. It's a simple thing, but it's often missing. And today in leadership, it's often going back to some of these basic things that make the biggest difference if you're going through, say, a transformational journey to take the whole growth of the business up a notch, to perform in a way that we've never performed before. It's often going back to these basic things that make the biggest amount of difference.
Absolutely. I mean, the fundamentals are there for a reason, and we get away innovation. We start innovating away from them and then have to recalibrate back to what was working and start from there. Give me an example. Bring some life to what it is that you do and how you've helped. So give me an example of somebody that you have coached in a corporate position to achieve their dreams and show me the full picture of how you help.
Yeah, there's a good example of a program that I'm working with right now with a large corporate. So I'm working with the chief growth officer who has a team of VPs and salespeople, a very aggressive sales target, but it's not just about numbers. So it's very much about the behaviors, the mindset, the way that people apply themselves, the culture that he's building. So where I've been most effective is not just alone working with him as the leader, as a coach and a consultant, but also working with his team of VPs to get inside their minds, coaching them as well, how they lead their teams, how they build their own culture in their own teams, which is in alignment with the overall culture that the team that he wants to create. And working with some team sessions with those teams as well. That has been highly effective over the last 2 years in making some major shifts in behaviors and mindset, which has culminated in the numbers as well, which is the proof. It's the behaviors behind that that actually drive those numbers. So that's been a like an integrated approach to executive coaching and executive branding. It's not just working with the leader at the top, it's all the individuals, so I can give a 360 view of what's going on and how we can tweak things moving forward. Another one was a very senior lady in business now. I coached her when she just wasn't getting through that proverbial glass ceiling, very senior in a tech business, and she just wasn't getting heard. And we worked very much on her brand. We worked really hard on defining the brilliance that she had in her role, such that it was seen and more visible than it ever had been before. And eventually it took a couple of years, but we did break through to now a very top role that she has in the industry. Sometimes cutting out the corporate jargon, really looking at the authentic person, not using all those buzzwords like strategy and pivot and innovation, because those are things we can hide behind. But what is the reality of what we need to be bringing as an individual leader?
You have given us so much in the first half of the segment, but I want to give you an opportunity because people can see you and hear from you on a pretty consistent basis because you have a new show coming out on Now Media TV. You want to tell everybody about what that's going to consist of so they can get more coaching?
Great. I'm so excited about this. It's called Executive Success with Leslie Everett, obviously here at Now Media TV. And I have a wealth of experienced leaders that will be bringing on the show. People that I've learned from over the years very much in terms of the challenges that go on in corporate life, but also entrepreneurial clients I've worked with and people who've broken through amazing adversity to get to where they are. There's so many lessons in all of that that help lead towards executive success. So we'll be bringing on some exciting people, people who have really done it, are still doing it, that I've worked with, so we can really talk about some of those achievements as well, from what they've done differently, anything that goes towards executive success, from productivity to building a culture to leading people in difficult situations, every possible topic you can imagine that helps us be a better leader. So I'm very
And
excited about
it is
that.
very exciting. I definitely will be tuning in so that I can learn from those executive like all stars and get the same coaching from you as well. So if you will hang out with me for a little bit, I would love to talk to you more about consistency. And while it's the thing that we all rub up against, you're going to explain to us why we need it so much. So stick with me. And for you guys, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. If you're just now joining us, I am your host, Emily Galindo, and I'm here with Leslie Everett, executive strategist, and she has been giving us a ton of pointers on how to level up our branding game, not just our business brand, but our personal image brand. And so, if you have ever felt like your professional image sends mixed messages, that's typically because based off of how you feel that day, maybe you are a pushover and then it builds and you become a bully. Or if you are sending all kinds of mixed messages about who you are in your professional career or who you are in business, we are joined here with Leslie Everett to help us sort it all out and create some consistency. So thank you so much for staying with us, Leslie. Appreciate you being here.
Pleasure. I love being here.
Yes, I love having you here because I learned so much. Let's talk about consistency in branding. So first of all, does it cause confusion if you are inconsistent and hurt your credibility? How bad is it?
Yeah, it is a bad thing. And you know, the funny thing is over the years, people have said to me, well, take someone like Madonna. She's never consistent. She reinvents herself all the time. She's doing different things all the time throughout her career. But the argument there is that she's consistent at reinvention. So consistency is so, so important. Because if you think about it, people don't have time to try and work us out and think, oh, how am I going to recommend Leslie? Because I'm not sure she's this or she's that or whatever. And therefore, they don't. So if we're not making it easy for people to talk about us and use words consistently and topics consistently that we really want to be known for, people are confused. They don't really talk about us in a way that we're in control of. So just make it easy for people to refer you, whatever business you're in, whether it's corporate, whether it's your own business, whatever it is, it's important that people do market you and talk about you in a positive way and refer you in lots of businesses. I have a lot of clients who are real estate professionals. Referrals are so, so important there. But if we can't easily portray consistently what it is we're good at and what makes us different, that's the key thing as well, then they're certainly not going to be able to do that. So we're missing out on an opportunity. Consistency really speaks volumes about who we are. We've got to focus on that as a priority.
I love that. And I'd love to reiterate, as you were talking, I was thinking about my own things, my own brand, my own business, and trying to think about, do they use the same words? What words would they use? And I'm hopeful that they would use the same words that I'm constantly saying on a regular basis. Like do I mix it up and do I do these things? So that way, when people go out to say, what does Emily do? They can use those same exact words. It sounds like a repeat sort of thing. Is that what consistency would look like in this setting?
Yeah, it is. And we can use it. We can see it all around us. We've seen celebrities over the years where you could come up with three words that describe them because the brand is so strong that we can easily come up with those words. And often when we see celebrities who do, where their image does break down and they don't recover, it's because the brand hasn't been so consistent that we can't easily identify those few words that they stand for, who they are as a person. So if we can think about the history of people that have had a great brand and the words that we could use to describe them and think about that in our own terms, what words would we want the global stage to use if they were describing us, then that's a very big step forward in having a solid reputation and brand.
Okay. And does this apply only to your professional life, or what does true consistency look like in both personal style and professional behavior?
We shouldn't see ourselves as two brands. If we start to look at ourselves as a brand within our professional life and a brand outside of that in our social life, then that suggests we're not being consistent in itself, and that can be dangerous. So if we are a fun, bubbly person who likes to enjoy life and has a sense of humor outside of work, we should never be working in an environment for us where we feel we can't share some of that appropriately, of course, because if we are, and some of the listeners listening to this program may actually feel like that I can't be myself in the corporate environment I'm in, then that's stressful. It's incredibly stressful to try and be somebody we're not. So we need to see ourselves as one brand. If we're known for our brilliance at coming up with new ideas outside of work and doing things differently, then we should absolutely put ourselves in an environment where we're able to do that professionally and vice versa. Otherwise, as I said, it can be stressful and we're not operating to our optimum anywhere near.
I was going to say, it sounds exhausting to be two different people, right? Like that would immediately aligning, just pick one, you would have more energy, I would assume, right? To do something. So how do you guide your clients to align their words, actions, and image across all of the platforms of their life?
It's one of the things that is the trickiest to do on our own. So it's where I'll start is I'll when I'm talking to somebody, I get them to talk a lot when I'm starting to get to know them, obviously, because what I can do is extract what they are saying and I almost put it through a filter. I think this is one of the superpowers that I have, I know, is being able to listen and extract and filter out what's being said to come up with, this is what you're really good at. This is something that really describes your brand. Would you agree with that? And often that's, wow, that's me. So we've then got something that we can work with, we can polish up. We can then look at how do we consistently project that and get that out there to the outside world, whether that's social media, presenting, whether it's TV interviews and podcast interviews, whatever that is, but we can have a consistent message. Or two or three messages that are all wrapped together. But that's how I help them to start building their brand is really clarifying and articulating what that golden thread is inside that they really should be known for because that's who they are.
And have you seen leadership effectiveness be impacted just by adjusting this one consistency thread, as you called it?
Yeah, I mean, there are other things that need to go with that, but I've seen it recently, very recently with leaders in that we extract the key things that are important to them in their leadership, and then let's start talking about them. Let's put some stuff out, very well thought through things on social media, that's not just, all over the place. It's actually in alignment with that message. So everything that gets reposted or written about, whether it's a post or an article or a video, whatever it is, actually speaks to that message. And then what I'm hearing from other people around that leader or people that work for that leader is, oh wow, what the he or she has said there really resonates with me. And I see that playing out in what they do on a day-to-day basis. Or they'll start to spot the signs for that playing out. And then the brand builds because we're adding layers to it all the time. Yeah, I've absolutely seen that. A lot of leaders don't know how to build on that gem, that golden thread that's them. But that's what I help them keep on track with.
Do you feel like once you help clients kind of figure out what that thread is and that voice starts to come out, that the audience that they have created, whether it be colleagues, friends, family, who see that those posts, those that type of activity, that type of discussion being consistent with who they see that person as, that it creates this like magical environment where people are like, oh, finally, they're owning their stuff, or finally they're on fire, or finally there's momentum, or finally they've found their thing. Do you feel like they're getting that kind of feedback when they start to step into that voice?
Yeah, very much so. And of course, the danger is that they write something about their leadership style or culture or whatever, and then they don't live that and breathe that on a day-to-day basis. That's the worst possible thing that could happen is, well, okay, they've written that, but that's not what they do. That's not the reality. And then that's damaging. But when they do talk about it, and then what happens is they'll often talk about it, but the team have already experienced that side of their brand. They just hadn't realized it. So then they'll read something about their approach to leadership and the way they see the culture and behaviors. And then they'll say, ah, so that's why he or she has instilled that in us. I understand now. I understand that dimension of their brand. So we're doing this subconsciously when we see it written down, and we've often seen it play out already. So there's a danger there in not talking about stuff that we're not going to actually live and breathe. But when we do get it right, it's incredibly powerful.
Yes, it can be. And so for us who are struggle with consistency, what is one practical tip for us in this distracting, busy world can we do to help us stay consistent?
Yeah, and it's not easy, and it sounds easy when we just talk about it, but just
Right.
take one thing, one word, whether it's or one thread of how you want to be seen as a leader, let's say. You want to be seen as a leader who is inspires others to be the best they can be, or it really is focused on developing other people. That's the number one thing that's important to them. And then just focus on that for the next few weeks. Focus on what you can do to really Bring this part of your brand out. Can you set up more one-on-ones, more meaningful one-on-ones with the team? Can you do something extra in these one-on-ones to make it feel extra special to them that they are really important to you as an individual team member and you're there to support them? Can you give them something extra to show that you've thought about it? So just focusing on one thing and for the next few weeks and adding the layers to that then starts to build a really solid foundation. But the danger is don't just then let it go. You've got to keep it going. But one thing, and then you can pick another part of the brand that you can build onto. But think about the leadership traits that you have. What one thing would you start with?
I love that. And so if people wanted to continue to have dig in and have these conversations to figure out what their words are with you, what where could people get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best place is, well, my email address is Leslie, that's Leslie at leslieeverett.com. So that's pretty easy to find. And my website is leslieeverett.com as well, where you can see videos and read articles on there as well.
Perfect. Okay, well, we're going to go to commercial break, but up next, we are going to close our conversation with Leslie Everett by talking about executive presence, what it really means, and how you can develop it to inspire more confidence and trust in your people. We'll be right back.
We are just getting started. Stick around, and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. Loving what you're watching. Don't miss a moment of Biz Talk or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. We are wrapping up today's show with Leslie Everett, a powerful executive strategist. And our theme to close this all out is executive presence. Many leaders want to project confidence and inspire others, but often struggle with being seen as the true leadership material. If you've ever been passed up for a promotion or had that feedback, Leslie Everett is here and has coached leaders worldwide in how to develop that presence and command respect and inspire trust. So this is an important topic, Leslie. We are excited to have you here still. Viewers want to lead with authority, right? But many struggle to embody that presence that draws others in. What executive presence? What let's start with what is executive presence and really, and why does it matter so much in leadership?
Yeah, it's good to ask that question to start with because a lot of people I coach in business, particularly, have either come to me and said, well, it's been suggested that I build my executive presence or my gravitas, and I don't really know what that means. So it's a good place to start. And I believe it's a blend of the qualities that really inspire, like connection and confidence and credibility in your brand. It's a combination of those things. And really, there are things like gravitas, which is really the way you act, the way you do things, the way you treat others, the way you speak, your communication skills, whether and the way you communicate generally, non-verbally, and then your appearance as well is part of that overall executive presence, the way you show up. And that's often, it's a topic actually, which is really important because that's often one that's been lost over recent years as we do more and more remote work on a screen rather than showing up in person. We forget how important that non-verbal communication is when when we're talking about executive presence. And I've seen some great results with people focusing on these things. So it's how we act, how we speak, or how we communicate, and how we look, our appearance.
Yes, it reminds me of my father's advice back all those years ago, which was dress for the job that you want, not for the job that you have, right? It always comes back to some, and then, or fake it till you make it, right? You just pretend that this is who you are, and eventually you will become that, I think, for a lot of people.
Some of those old sayings are still good.
Back to the foundations, right? They weren't wrong
Yeah.
then, they're not wrong now.
That's right.
How can someone, I think this is probably for those of our nurturers or for those that are really in it for the heart and the connection and all of that, I think this conversation of the gravitas and the executive presence can land a little too close to the arrogance side of life, right? And
Yeah.
how do you project confidence without crossing into being arrogant?
Yeah, and it's probably one of the biggest challenges that a lot of people I speak to have. It's, if I'm too direct with things, I'm seen as too assertive. Particularly women tell me that, although it's not all women, it can be men too. And how do I instill that confidence in people with being clear and direct without stepping over that line? One of the things that can help to just soften this. And often I feel as women, we do particularly struggle because I know in the past I've struggled with it, being direct and people think I'm being too bullshy or whatever it might be. But it's bringing that element of empathy, which is talked about a lot in e-leadership now as well, bringing empathy back into it as well, showing that you understand where somebody's coming from, not necessarily agreeing with them if there's something going on, but understanding and listening. And then using direct language so that clarity is there to make sure that there's no ambiguity on what needs to be done and what we need to do moving forwards. But the empathy can often soften it, but it not to the detriment of not being clear. And that's one of the things I see missing in leadership a lot when I'm working with direct reports to leaders is lack of clarity. Well, I don't really know what's expected. I don't know what the big picture is. I don't understand the why behind this. I get the what, but I don't understand the why. So the clarity is important. We should never forget that, but mixed with that little bit of empathy, perhaps.
I'm curious about the why. I mean, yes, understanding the why, because I also do, I work with small and medium-sized business owners and I'm not in the corporate world. I've been an employee of the corporate world, and was just incredibly fortunate to not have any of my direct supervisors. I mean, they all came with empathy. And so I've never had the corporate experiences everybody has talked about is like not understanding the why behind the what. But that empathy, how would you recommend, let's call middle management. What is one thing that they can do to increase their empathy with their team?
One of the things that I use, and actually it takes me back to a book by Malcolm Gladwell called Blink. And in there, if I remember rightly, there's a study with medical consultants, and they looked at the correlation between incompetence or complaints and incompetency. And there wasn't a correlation between those two. In fact, the least amount of complaints were received from some of those that were more incompetent, but the least number of complaints was allocated to those consultants who took time out at the end of a consultation to just ask their patient, so how are, put their notebook away and say, so how are you doing? What's going on in your personal life? How are things? How do you feel these days? And taking that time out to really get to the nuts and bolts of what's going on in that person's life. Now, I'm not suggesting that leaders become therapists for their team because that can be dangerous. But it is having that little bit of time to say, so, okay, tell me what's going on. How are you feeling? What can I do to support you better? What is it that I could do differently that will help you to do your job even better or more easily or whatever it might be? It's taking that time not to just cover an update on what's going on for, operationally, but to take time out to understand what's going on personally with that individual. That can make a massive amount of difference. And I've seen that play out time and time again.
Absolutely. I absolutely. That study actually went on to about medical malpractice, and his study was about competence versus warmth. And the warmer you were, the less likely the patient was to file a malpractice lawsuit on you,
Exactly.
just
Yep.
by being a little bit more warm. And in my own personal experience, as I said, I was fortunate. I actually worked harder for the boss who cared, who asked about my daily life. And I ended up getting to a place where I was doing more work to not upset him or our relationship or have him be embarrassed than I was doing it for my own paycheck, if that makes sense, because he cared and invested in me as a person.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly right. And that's how you build a real positive culture in a team.
So what is one mindset shift that viewers can maybe take today to carry with themselves with more to be able to be more authoritative and do it with grace? Like, what would you recommend if this has inspired this middle manager and he's going to go in and start creating this new culture? What's the mindset shift that he or she needs to take on to be able to step into that authority?
So it's, how can I support my team as individuals and as a team to shift the needle a little bit in the right direction? So what else could I be giving them that I'm not giving them right now? What questions could I be asking that I'm not asking right now? And as I said, the most powerful one is, what could I be doing differently that would help you to do your job more easily? What would make the biggest amount of difference right now to your world? What is it that I could do better? You tell me. And it's almost then it's instilling this whole culture of transparency and openness, which then leads into people being able to accept feedback better. And I've seen that play out as well. The more transparent and open and supportive we can be, the better people will take feedback. Therefore, we all progress quicker. So I think there's some little bits there that you could think about building in to one-on-ones with your team, building into maybe an overall team culture or team brand. How are we going to operate? What type of team do we want? And allowing people to have their own voice with that as well, coming up with their own ideas on the rules of engagement for our team. So it's getting to the mindset of the individuals more, to make them feel significant and valued and respected.
I hope that everybody takes you and takes that if they heard it and takes it seriously, because it can dramatically change. As you said, the byproduct is the money and the revenue that produces and how the team performs, but it can also create lasting change in that person. So if people wanted to continue to have this conversation with you, Leslie, let us know one more time how we can get a hold of you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. It's my email is Leslie, L-E-S-L-E-Y at leslieeverett.com. That's the best way to reach me. Or you can go to my website, which is also leslieeverett.com, and contact me there. And I'd be very happy to have conversations around that to further the discussion.
Fantastic. And before I let you go, because this has been incredibly valuable and I wish we could do more of it, but I don't have to wish anymore because you now have your own show. And so Executive Success, tell everybody how they can, when to tune in or when that's going to be going on and what we can expect from you there.
Yeah, it's incredibly exciting. I'm so pleased and privileged to be able to do this. I think we'll be airing from mid-October, something like that. But it's all about all the elements really that help us to be a better executive, to be more successful as an executive. Everything from leading teams to how I can improve my own mindset. We'll have some great guests coming on from the corporate world who I've worked with or who I admire, so we can really get into the brains of these individuals and understand how it all works for them, how it's played out, their vulnerabilities as well, which is so, so important. So lots of great content all around executive success, and I can't wait.
Leslie, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily. I've really enjoyed it. See you soon.
See you. To our viewers, I encourage you to reflect on today's conversation. What step will you take this week to strengthen your personal brand? Remember that the way to show up matters far beyond that moment. So I'm Emily Galindo, and this has been Biz Talk. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on Now Media Television.